Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. October's over. You know, it really is, but it ends with a big bang because Friday is Halloween. And I think all my life, Halloween has been my favorite holiday. It's just my absolute favorite. I love it more than Christmas. I still do. Honestly, I still do. We used to decorate the house. Shannon and I used to decorate the house like crazy on the outside and just really do it up. And we had so much fun doing it, just decorating and we decorate and it's like, oh no, what should we put there? And he'd run to the store and grab something. So we just had lights and everything else going, and it was really, really fun. And the trick-or-treaters, or actually better said, their parents really loved it. You know, trick-or-treaters just want candy. Lights let them know that there's probably candy wherever the lights are. But I was thinking about it yesterday as I started to get my thoughts together for the show. and I remember my favorite year was actually 2020. It was the first Halloween after we'd remodeled the house, and the first year that we had a courtyard. And courtyard sounds so foofy, but it really isn't. My house was built in 1951. It's a mid-century modern, which means it's slab on grade. It's a big rectangle. And the mid-century modern houses that are like it around me are actually a little newer than mine. Mine was built in 51. Theirs were built in the 60s, but it's all the same. There's about four of us whose end of the house faced the street, not the door, not the, you know, front of the house. So that's a little different. So when we did the remodel, we kind of, we just fenced in the part off the driveway that comes up to the front door because we have a big, big driveway. So you have to go through a gate and come to the front door. We had a blast. I mean, that courtyard was filled with more stuff than you can imagine. I mean, you had to, as you walked up, because I made sure the candy was up close to the front door, so they had a walk to go. And they walked past. Like, I had wraiths hanging that screamed when you walked by. I had a corpse hanging from a tree that did the same thing, screamed when you walked by. I mean, we had strobe lights going. And it was just, it was honestly the best of the best. It was the best of the best of Halloweens because, again, we had the perfect setting for it, having the courtyard. They had to come through the gate. We put big trick-or-treat banners on the outside of the gate so they knew what to do. And the parents that came, I remember I got the biggest kick out of the parents that came. And again, remember, this is 2020. And that was another reason that this was the best Halloween. Because the people that came, it's kind of like I remember one Halloween when my son was about 8 years old, 7 years old, and I've told this story a million times. He didn't want to go trick-or-treating. He wanted to scare kids off the porch. And I said, you and I are going trick-or-treating. I don't care what you think. And it was snowing, you know, and we lived in North Denver at that time. And I ended up, we put makeup on, like Day of the Dead makeup, and we went trick-or-treating. And it took him about three houses to get in the groove of it. But he did. So I think there were, the looks on the parents' faces were probably as or more excited than the kids, you know, that they were out trick-or-treating. And trick-or-treating seems to be like a dying thing because there's trunk-or-treating and my grandkids do that. They do it in the parking lot of their school. And that's all great, but man, going tromping through the neighborhood and ringing people's doorbells, and I mean, that's just pure bliss as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's just I just hope, and I know that there are parents that bring their kids around, but this year I did get candy. Last year I didn't, and the year before I was just not in that space. But I do have candy, and I'm going to open that gate and have all my lights on. I didn't decorate or anything because it's really not fun without somebody else to do it with. You know, you need a partner in crime, so to speak, or at least I do. But I will have candy, but there just aren't many trick-or-treaters. But back to my story, that way I digress. It was the thing that I noticed about Halloween 2020 was not just that we went crazy. We went crazy because we had a new playground, so to speak. You know, we had a new blank slate to play with. But there were far more houses in the neighborhood decorated for Halloween. I mean, they were just, it was noticeable. And I mean, really decorated. And I think it was because it was a great creative outlet. And the best opportunity in the world to be childlike and silly. And we needed that. We needed that that year, more than any other year. And people took advantage of the fun and the spirit of Halloween. And I think it was just ended up to be just a cool circle of giving and receiving, because it's just fun. It's fun. There is nothing like Halloween, nothing like Halloween. But I remember as a kid, it snowed every Halloween. It snowed every Halloween. Now, I know, thinking back on it, that's probably not true, but that's my story. You know, because I only remember ever wearing a big old coat over my Halloween costume to go trick-or-treating. It was cold. It was snowing. And we trudged through the snow, or it had snowed and it was cold and we had to wear bigger coats. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because Colorado, you never know. Everybody wishes for a fall. When fall comes, I think, in Colorado, because sometimes it just goes right straight through to winter. We get a freeze early, and actually kind of right on schedule with my Halloween growing up Halloween story. The weather changed here yesterday yet again. Like changing weather here is some big deal. It has been absolutely the most beautiful fall. Absolutely gorgeous trees, gold and red, like cherry red, whole trees, just as gorgeous, deep red. And I thought it would all end last night because we had our first hard freeze. And the last time that happened, my vines, I have my Virginia creeper that cover my whole fence in the backyard, and they're beautiful. And of course, you know, the oldest part of them is really, really thick and still green. And then as they travel down, as they creep down the fence, hence the name, they get thinner and thinner until they fill out more next year and following years. So the thinner part at the end were red and gold and really beautiful and heading toward the thicker part. But last year, I remember we had a freeze and all the leaves fell off my vines. I had these gorgeous zinnias and they all just died. I mean, it was like blink of an eye. Today they're beautiful. Tomorrow they're sticks. So I thought that would happen last night, but it didn't. We had our freeze. But, and the leaves at the end that were already done let go. And there were a lot more leaves on the ground when Grace and I went for our walk this morning in 31 degrees. But everything is still beautiful. The trees still have their gorgeous colored leaves. And it's just a happy Halloween time. It just really is. So that's my excitement. To begin the show, I have way more excitement going on later in the teaching segment. But just a reminder, thank you again for joining me today. The show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com and click chat, then click the YouTube link posted under my banner. You can also subscribe to my channel. And that is on youtube.com. I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. My Autumn Abundance time-based session is still up and available, and that's just where we work on removing limiting beliefs that would interfere with your ability to receive, because this is an abundant, beautiful time of harvest, and to be in that energy is just fantastic. So that's the purpose of that time-based session. And just a reminder that we do have on 12listen reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, and the 12th of each month, which is 12day. And of course, this Friday, we will be celebrating Halloween. I'll be online about 10:30, 11 a.m. Pacific into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. Leave your email address. That's all that that entails. And I just want to thank you again for listening today, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12radio.com 24/7. And there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage. And I want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today and for all that she does for us on 12radio. And let's move into the teaching segment, which I am really excited about, by listening to a song called In the Cloud Lodge by David and Steve Gordon from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it for a few minutes. It's our segue into the teaching segment, and I will be back right after. Thank you again for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. Last week, I talked about emotions, feelings, and moods. Pardon me. From three different standpoints: scientific, empathic, and spiritual. The spiritual source was a book called The Great Prayer by Dr. Irvin Seal, which is an esoteric interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. It's a book that can be read in 1 or 2 hours, but it takes many, many readings to metabolize the depth of Dr. Seal's wisdom. And when I went back, I knew that that's what I wanted to use as a resource for last week's show. But when I went back through that book, I'm not kidding you. It makes my head want to explode. It makes my heart want to explode with joy. It's just phenomenally deep. It is an absolute diamond mine and of wisdom. And I'm going to share more from it today, but also incorporate other teachings from other sources, other wise men and the Upanishads and the Tao. And basically what my job on this show was to do was to create a circle, to start and incorporate and link it all together. So there won't be much commentary from me unless I just can't stand it and have to interject something because I'm excited. Sorry, but truth is truth. And the truth, the only truth, is that you are the individualization of Source. All that God is, you are. And today, we're going to explore that truth, the truth as it corresponds to supply. And supply is what you need when you need it, no matter what that is. But to know that all that God is, you are, and all that supply is, you are. Because you are, again, the individualization of Source, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. Everything, nothing is withheld from you. Nothing, everything is you. Reverend Nikes, God has no more to give you, and that's because God is you. But the thing is, okay, that's the truth of it. How do we access it? How do we access it? How do we use it? And that's what I want to talk about today. For the next 40 minutes, 45 minutes, actually. again, I'm sorry, I have this little fuzz, I apologize. But that's getting better. I'm overcoming that fuzz on these shows, I think. And today is just a little weird. But I think it might be, too, that I'm just excited. You know, it's Halloween energy. And the energy of just providing for you something that is just heart expanding and mind expanding and just filled with love. My heart just is overflowing with love, not only for the context of the show and the teachings and the people that taught them, but for you too. I mean, this is just the gift that it gave to me. I want to pass on, and that's my purpose. So as I said, we're going to explore the truth of supply, and that begins with knowing who you are and an understanding of the Father. The Great Prayer is the Lord's Prayer. That's what the book is about. And as I said, it's from The Great Prayer and other sources. And let's just get ready for a blast of inspiration, because that's what this all is. It's all I can do right now to keep my head from flying off, so... I better get on to sharing. So Dr. Seal wrote, "Prayer is never the words you use. Prayer is the movement of the spirit within you toward the accomplishment of your desires. Words, ideas, affirmations are only the tools of the mind. The mind creates nothing. It is itself a tool which you use. You use your mind to touch and awaken the spirit within you. And the latter does the work. The only power that answers prayer is within you. What is this thing that is within you? It is life, capital L, to call it by one name. It's not any particular form of life. It is simply life, unconditioned, and unmanifest. Life itself is ever invisible. What we usually call life is only the form life takes, a fish, a dog, a man. These are forms or conditioned states of the formless and unconditioned life, which is everywhere. Behind every form of life is the formless, capital F, out of which it is made. This formless life is not to be described by sense impressions. The five senses describe life's manifestations, but they cannot cognize what has not taken form and visibility. That is why, when you go within, you leave the world of sense impressions. When you close your eyes in prayer, you shut out the world of form and thing. You forget all that the five senses tell you about yourself. You forget all the definitions of yourself. You forget all the qualifying and definitory concepts about yourself. But there is something you do not and cannot forget, and that is that you are. This quiet and untrammeled awareness of existence is life, capital L, or as the Bible states it, the presence of God. It is consciousness. Not of anything, but just consciousness. I am. Present tense of the verb to be, in other words, is beingness, or the simplest sense of being alive. This awareness that I am is called the Father, for it is the progenitor of all things. It is the great no thing, undifferentiated life from which all things, forms, proceed. The Our Father is the recognition that all men and all things came forth from this undefined and impersonal presence of life. Since all men and all things came forth from it, they are not different and separate from it. They are manifestations of it and one with it. In the Upanishads, it states, "In the beginning was only being," capital B, "one without a second. Out of himself he brought forth the cosmos and entered into everything in it. There is nothing that does not come from him. Of everything he is the inmost self. He is the truth. He is the self supreme. And you are that." That being another name for God. That. Dr. Seale wrote, "Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father," John 14:9. "He that hath seen the manifestation hath seen the being that is manifesting." Again, "my Father is greater than all. I and my Father are one," John 10:29-30. "The expressor and the expression are one, but the expressor is greater than the expression." My consciousness is my capacity to conceive. The awareness that I am is my capacity to conceive that I am this, that, or the other. That which I conceive myself to be is consciousness congealed into form. Or as Neville said, God in man is man's imagination. What we see around us is imagination hardened into fact. Paragraph 1 of the Tao Te Ching says, "The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the source of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of the 10,000 things. Desireless, one may behold the mystery. Desiring, one may see the manifestations. Though one in origin, they emerge with distinct names. Both are mysteries, depth within depth, the threshold of all secrets." This knowledge of the Father as the power of causation within yourself, this is Dr. Seale, is the most wonderful wisdom you can possess. It is the mystery hidden from all generations. So I do want to interject something here, especially with the Tao. You know, desireless When we go in, we connect to the presence of God within us. When we go into the secret place of the Most High, which is our consciousness, our for me and in my education, and that makes the most sense, it is an inner sanctuary, and it's in my sixth chakra. It's in the center of my head. The sixth chakra is completely neutral. It is our imagination space, our clairvoyance space. But that is where we can set up an inner sanctuary. And Stuart Wild talked a lot about how important it is to have an inner sanctuary. His was a crystal cave. And because he talked a lot about the Arthurian legends and Merlin, that Merlin went into his crystal cave, and that's where he got empowered. But this is really, I think it's important to make this distinction between, you know, the Father and the Son being the manifested thing. But the thing that manifests only manifests through desire. So whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you know, what if we're worried about something and we're focused on it, what we're conscious of being, we will experience in our life. You know, it will manifest in our experience. It has to. That's our consciousness is cause of every single thing that we see in our surroundings, that we experience in our lives, to include our feelings and our thoughts and our concerns and worries. And the more we focus on our concerns and worries, the more we see them, and they prove to us that they are valid. They are not valid unless we believe them, unless we have the feeling of being them. I mean, that's it. You know, you go into that quiet space and just you go into that quiet space to just be and to feel the movement of spirit. And that movement of spirit is a different feeling than say feeling happy because something happened, or feeling concerned because something may happen. It's a different feeling, and I can't quite explain it. Although, it's like I shared last week, this whole experience of being alive is feeling. And the only way we experience God is through feeling. But this is a feeling that is like every part to me, to explain it from my experience, is it takes over. And I had an interesting experience of it last Saturday. I take a yoga class at Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. And something was just in my head. And it was something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it came from a client that I talked to, who said something was a concern of hers. And this is something I really don't, I remember it being something, I don't remember the specifics, sorry, but it's something that normally I wouldn't give much thought to, you know, and I do my best to separate, you know, after I do a reading or healing, after I have a call, to separate, to call my energy back and to send my client's energy back to them. Because then I'm at full steam and they've got their energy back, and everyone needs their own energy. So for some reason, that was a little piece that kind of stuck in my consciousness. And so it was, I noticed, I'm in yoga, right? I'm doing my yoga, my stretches, and this thing is kind of nagging at me. And I just gave it away. This is not mine. This is not me. It cannot be me. It cannot be me. Again, truth, all that God is, I am. This can't exist there. It can't. It's why we cast a burden of anything that's bothering us on the Christ within, which is the infinite self. And we go free because it cannot exist in the infinite self, because it is error. So we pass it on to the thing that is the truth of our being. You know, we're just fooled for a minute when we think that we're susceptible to something or something can affect us in the outer world. We're just fooling ourselves for a minute. We're in our human consciousness, in our restricted, limitation, small human mind. But that's okay, because we're in an incarnation. It happens. I mean, there's no judgment in that, and there's no self-judgment when that happens. What we do, the way we get out of it, is we recognize it, and then we go back to source. We go back to the feeling of oneness with all that is, that gorgeous peace within us. But anyway, during yoga, I just kind of like went, wait a minute, I'm not having this, and I gave it away. And I felt, talking about that feeling of spirit, it was like this beautiful stream of water that just gently came over me and just flowed from the top of my head down through my body and just shifted my energy all the way to my feet. And that just happened while I was in yoga class doing yoga. But it had nothing to do with the yoga. It had to do with, wait a minute, this is not mine, and I'm not taking it. And it was just, and I'm just in there when that happened, and I'm just smiling to myself going, thank you, Father. Thank you for my healing. Because that's healing. That is healing. That shift in consciousness, you feel it in your body, and that is healing. And you know, when you're, again, I'm going to get back to this because I've got a lot to share, but I just wanted to talk about that. Desireless, we may behold the mystery. In other words, that's just going in and practicing the presence. There's no other desire other than just being with God. But desiring is the shift. Like my desire was to be out of that crazy, naggy, worry thing that I was experiencing. That was my desire. So there is desire, but there's no asking for things when we go in and practice the presence. It's just being there. You know, if God doesn't know what we need, who does, right? If there's something bothering us and we go in to practice the presence and we get quiet, that has to leave, because it's a barrier between us and that feeling of oneness and wholeness and pure joy and peace. So anyway, back to Irvin Seal. I needed to interject that, and hopefully that made sense, because it just came flying out of my mouth. As I said a minute ago, this knowledge of the Father as the power of causation within yourself is the most wonderful wisdom that you can possess. It is the mystery hidden from all generations. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:26-27. He wrote, this inner place of life unmanifest is called heaven in the Bible. Here, Jesus locates the Father, which art in heaven. Heaven is the rarefied state. Earth is the formed or manifested state. One is spirit, the other is matter, and mind is the medium between these two. The Chandogya Upanishad says, in the city of Brahman is a secret dwelling, the lotus of the heart. Within this dwelling is a space, and within that space is the fulfillment of our desires. What is within that space should be longed for and realized. As great as the infinite space beyond is, the space within the lotus of the heart. Both heaven and earth are contained in that inner space. Both fire and air, sun and moon, lightning and stars. Whether we know it in this world or know it not, everything is contained in that inner space. Dr. Seal, when you wish to pray, you must always turn in recognition to the formless source of life within. You must recognize it to be the one and only cause and power in your world. This is the meaning of the first statement in the Great Prayer. It is the recognition of the one true God, a recognition that there is no power outside yourself. It is an observance of the first commandment of Moses, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," Exodus 23. A man's belief in powers external to himself are other gods. True external conditions may inspire certain ideas and moods in you, but the power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. If one has not found God within himself, he naturally supposes him to be without. To one whose God is outside himself, the Great Prayer is a petition for grace and blessing. To the illumined mind, the Great Prayer is an outline for the right ordering of your mind, to the end that you may condition the spirit into the form of your ideal. It tells you to recognize the source, cause, the only I am. It tells you to recognize no other. In truth, there is no other. All is consciousness, conditioned or unconditioned. To quote-unquote worship is to count worthy. Count nothing worthy of your attention but the power of God in you. To study the external world is to study effects. To study yourself is to find causation. Got to say that one again. To study yourself is to find causation. Ugh, that's powerful. From the chapter on supply in the heart of mysticism, Joel Goldsmith wrote, "Supply is a spiritual subject, a deeply spiritual subject. It is the most spiritual subject you will ever encounter, because supply is the realization of God. It is an activity of truth which takes place within you and within me, a state of peace which descends upon us when the Spirit of God is felt within. It is this awareness of the presence of God which constitutes supply. The moment you begin to realize that the invisible Spirit is the health of your countenance, the moment you begin to realize that this invisible Spirit is not only the source of your supply, but is your supply itself, the moment you realize that this invisible Spirit, God the Father, is your high tower, your fortress, your hiding place, your abiding place, your every need will be met. There is no material supply. All supply is spiritual. Only do not think in terms of the forms of supply, such as money, property, homes, or investments. Think in terms of the essence of supply. Spirit is supply. Your God consciousness is your supply. The activity of truth within you is your supply. Anything you need for some outer activity, you have by virtue of the fact that you have achieved a realization of the supply of the substance within you. Once you have the substance within you, that is the realization of the feeling of the presence of that substance, everything you need on the outer plane is provided. These are the added things. If there were no inner essence or substance, there would be no outer expression or form. The Tao Te Ching, paragraph 21. The great virtue follows Tao and Tao alone. Tao is invisible and intangible. Intangible and invisible. Yet within it is an image. Invisible and intangible, yet within it is substance. Dim and dark, and yet within it is an essence. This essence is invariably true, and yet within it is what may be tested. From ancient times until the present, its name has persisted. Thus one may perceive the beginning of all things. How do I know all this? Through the Tao. Joel said, nothing can limit a state of consciousness that has realized the activity of the Christ. Nothing can limit a state of consciousness that has realized the activity of the Christ. Neville wrote, where the consciousness is placed, you do not have to take the physical body. It gravitates there in spite of you. Things happen to compel you to move in the direction where you are consciously dwelling. The Master said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The many mansions are the unnumbered states within your mind, for you are the house of God. In my Father's house are unnumbered concepts of self. You could not in eternity exhaust what you are capable of being. And that's Neville. And you know, Neville is all, Neville's another one. Oof, deep pool of wisdom and knowledge and gorgeous mysticism. But that's, you know, here's Neville. Here's a quote from Neville. You wear the mood of the wish fulfilled until it becomes natural. In other words, until you know it is just part of you. And once it is natural, nothing can stop it from coming into consciousness, into physical reality, I should say, into manifestation. So I just want to read that beginning part of that quote from Neville. Where the consciousness is placed, you do not have to take the physical body. It gravitates there in spite of you. Things happen to compel you to move in the direction where you are consciously dwelling in your consciousness, dwelling in your consciousness, in what you want to experience. Dr. Seale, unfulfilled desire is the real trouble behind every human problem. Disease of the flesh is a disease of the mind. Inability to get along with other people is the inability to get along with one's own thoughts. When desire quarrels with environment, some upheaval is the natural result. To have in your world the conditions you desire is happiness. The promise of Jesus is explicit and unequivocal. All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Matthew 21:22. There is a power at your command so great that you can bring any desire into manifestation. True, you may find that when you have brought it into manifestation, it is not the good thing you thought it was. Nevertheless, your power to do so is not limited. You have the power to change any condition and to bring forth something better. Peace of mind is the real, all-inclusive desire of man. But peace of mind comes only with the discovery of power. It is not the houses and automobiles and fur coats that anyone wants so much as the consciousness of his power to have these things. Man's desire for things becomes intense because he thinks he's obstructed in getting them. As long as a man cannot have what he desires, the desire for it becomes an inward fire burning to destruction. It is the only hell there is. Put him in touch with a power that can give him his desire, and the suffering ceases. He is at peace. Inward peace is the goal of every life. This peace comes only upon the heels of the consciousness of power, the power to do, to be, and to have. It is a spiritual power which does not and cannot invade the freedom of another. The man with knowledge of the law is not tempted to hurt, injure, or limit any other man. Why should he? Knowing his absolute and unqualified capacity in God to obtain what he desires, he sees that no man can prevent his attainment. Knowing that all things come out from God within him, why should he try to get them in any other way? Thus, a man of spiritual understanding is no longer under the temptation to hate, to injure, or to limit another's actions. He does not envy. He has the know-how of prayer, and this know-how is peace in his heart. He fulfills all desires at the place of their origin, within himself. This is prayer. It is everywhere set forth in the Bible. It is summarized in the Lord's Prayer. The great prayer of Jesus is not a formula of words. It is a guide to feeling. Its words are not the prayer itself, but only the guide to prayer. It is a formula for mental action. It tells you what to do, what definite steps to follow in prayer. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Lord's Prayer cannot properly be considered apart from this introductory direction. Prayer is for the purpose of changing things. No environmental change can be made until there's a change in the consciousness. For the environment of any individual is the expression of his consciousness. When you feel the need to pray about anything, it's because something in your world needs changing. You may be agitated or concerned or feel the beginnings of fear or worry. Any one of these feelings is a state of mind which must be changed. You pray in order to get into another state of mind, another dimension of consciousness. Prayer is a psychological change. And to complete the circle with Dr. Seal, this is the section of the Great Prayer that is Hallowed Be Thy Name is the title. The Lord's Prayer is a formula for conditioning the unconditioned consciousness. The clause, quote-unquote, hallowed be thy name, means to give a specific name to this nameless beingness which you are. It is all things to all men, but it is something particular to each man. The state of consciousness in which you now live is the conditioned state of the unconditioned and formless one. I got to repeat that. The state of consciousness in which you now live in this moment is the conditioned state of the unconditioned and formless one. It is the nameless one assuming a name or designation. It is the great unseeable wearing a vesture which men see. The quote-unquote hallowed state means an individual consciousness abiding in peace and confident quietness. This should be the state of your consciousness at all times. Whenever you find that this is not the state of your mind, it is time for you to pray. When you pray, you return to this quiet, confident state, believing in all things good, fearing nothing that suggests harm. This is how you hallow the name or nature of God within you. It is entirely a matter of feeling. When you are convinced that feeling is the motion of God and there is no other power, it will be easy to return to stillness. Now, whatever God is, he is identical with life, capital L. And life can have only one tendency, and that is to express itself. To say that life seeks to express itself in death is a contradiction. To say that life can have any directional tendency toward any limitation is a contradiction. Life is a oneness or unity, and it seeks to express that unity in the formed world. The individual's desire for health or better living conditions or for higher expressions of himself cannot be repugnant to the general program of life. After all, where did he get these desires? They are universal with all men. They cannot be anything but the push of life to realize itself in expression. The promises of God that you can have these things are not in the Bible alone. They are in you. They are life yearning and aspiring toward realization in physical form of all that it inwardly feels itself to be, which is limitless. That's my interjection. See this clearly, and you will know the true love of God for man. It is the love of life for manifestation. Wow. Honestly, there is nothing more to say. Our circle is complete. Our circle is complete. And I hope you feel as full as I do. My heart is just overflowing. Thank you for joining me today. However and whenever you do, this blessing is here. And it's a blessing of just wisdom and love and service, just given to us, you know, by wise and beautiful men and women, just beautiful beings. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very, very blessed week.